This episode of A Change of Brand is brought to you by BrandPad, a new standard of brand guidelines. BrandPad is an online platform made by designers for designers. Keep listening for a special code just for you, our listeners.
I think it's a risk when you go with such a simple and strong idea. Like, you can't own a lightning bolt. You can't own an arrow. It's like someone saying, you have a circle, I have a circle. These are probably 10 symbols in the world that you can't own. The sun, the moon, the lightning. You know, like, of course, it's going to probably have some overlap, but you need to look beyond this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to A Change of Brand, a show featuring behind-the-scenes stories of rebrand, glory, drama, or disaster. I'm your host, Blake Howard. If you are a millennial or older, you probably remember busy Saturdays, going to the mall, hitting up a few of your favorite stores, casually dining at the food court, browsing some more, and leaving hours later with fists full of bags, satisfied that you almost shopped till you dropped. However, those days are in the past. This is 2023, people. You can order that new fresh pair of Vans straight from the comfort of your own couch. According to Forbes, over 20% of retail happens online today. In fact, they predict the global e-commerce market to be $6.3 trillion by the end of 2023, and over $8 trillion by 2026. For shoppers, it's hard to beat the convenience of ordering online. For retailers or merchants, one of the greatest benefits of e-commerce is that you can sell your products or services to anyone from anywhere, and learn a lot about who they are in the process. Merchants, now more than ever, need technology to power and streamline the checkout experience, or they might leave shoppers second-guessing their choices and abandoning their carts. However, today's story isn't really about the insane uptick of consumerism and frantic fingers clicking to buy as fast as possible. This story is deeper than that. It wades into the ethical waters within the brand identity and graphic design industry. The logos that are being designed today, are they really that new or just an echo of something that has come before them? As professionals, is our responsibility with our clients only or with the industry at large? Today, we crack open the virtuous vault to debate the merits of originality. And Bolt is our way in. For more backstory on their business and what led up to this 2023 change of brand, let's go to brand strategist Tracy Clark for our brief-in.
Bolt was founded in January 2014 by Stanford computer science students Ryan Breslow and Eric Feldman with a vision to set a new standard for e-commerce. With just 10 employees, they spent the next 2 years building Bolt's checkout platform, which only included the payment step when it launched with its first merchant. Fast forward another 5 years, over 1,000 employees and over $1 billion in funding later, Bolt quickly became an e-commerce leader, with their primary offering being one-click, seamless checkout. Now, hundreds of retailers like Forever 21, Casper, Fanatics, and Revolve rely on Bolt to convert and retain shoppers. Oftentimes, customers will choose to check out as guests when online shopping to avoid creating yet another account with a password they may or may not remember a week later. The key to this one-click checkout experience is the Bolt Network, which connects retailers to the tens of millions of shoppers who have Bolt accounts. These retailers can treat shoppers like a returning customer regardless of whether they've actually shopped on that site before, resulting in a higher checkout conversion rate. One-click checkout with Bolt means businesses of any size can provide a shopping experience that's passwordless, problemless, and seamless. Although you could argue checkout this easy creates problems for our wallets. The original logo featured a bright cobalt blue lightning bolt, a nod to the lightning fast shopping made possible by Bolt. This electric blue was central to their visual identity, from marketing to the platform interface itself. However, in almost a decade, Bolt's brand remained largely unchanged. As Bolt approached 2023, they wanted to stand apart from the e-commerce crowd, which has been rapidly growing with competitors like PayPal, Shop, Stripe, Shopify, and more cropping up every year. As Bolt CEO Maju Kuruvilla puts it, There's never been more competition, but there's also never been more sameness. They also wanted to be seen as more than a B2B brand. And instead of targeting merchants, they needed a change of brand to be noticed by shoppers too. Did they achieve the shock they were looking for, or just a little buzz? Keep listening for the full story.
The new Bolt brand identity designed by Kodo is profoundly different than anything else in their market. It ditched the blue and went all in on a neon lightning lime as the primary brand color. The overall look and feel is modern, smooth, and fast. Most notable is the logo. With thick black sans serif letters, it cleverly tucks a lightning bolt in between the L and the T at the end of the name. As Armin Witt of Under Consideration said in his review of the work, it's so good, it's annoying. And I felt exactly the same when I first saw it. I felt a pang of jealousy hit, if I'm honest. It's one of those rare logos that just crushes it with cleverness. Be sure to see the change of brand for yourself at achangeofbrand.com. And I must say, kudos to Kodo. However, others weren't feeling as complimentary. In fact, some shouted copycat. And that's where this story gets more riveting. The new Bolt brand identity published in January 2023 with the usual suspects, a press release, an updated website, and a blog article about the change on Bolt.com. Additionally, there was a case study from Kodo with a tweet promoting the work. In response to that tweet, Greg Quinton, Global Chief Creative Officer from SuperUnion, said, "Cough," with a link to an image of another logo of a brand called Volt, a sub-brand of Virgin Media. It had a familiar solution of a hidden lightning bolt between the L and the T of that name. And it didn't stop there. In response to the tweet from Bolt announcing the new logo, a B2B sports tech brand named Buzzer responded with a tweet comparing its logo with a hidden bolt in between the two Z's in the name. Additionally, it featured a photo of Michael Jordan in his prime next to the Buzzer logo, and then a regular guy playing basketball wearing a Jordan jersey next to the Bolt logo. As one commenter said, shots fired. While the work was mostly praised and appreciated by industry leaders, a slew of others started posting logos with a lightning bolt motif. Even one was found as a vector stock logo on a website with the exact word Bolt and a lightning bolt between the L and the T. As one tweeter said, the comparison to the negative space between the two Z's in Buzzer is one thing, but to find it between an L and a T is another. And today I want to know, was that fair criticism or far-fetched? How much originality should we expect in identity design? Is there anything really new under the sun?
No, of course not. I think you'd have to be a fool to think that something is completely unique. It probably has been done before by mistake or a combination of different things. We try to make everything unique, but then you realize that hundreds of thousands of people probably do branding every day, every year, and have been doing it for decades. I don't know. Maybe we all want to create the most unique thing ever, and it's never going to be possible. There are things that are more unique to others because at the end of the day, it's a combination of things. Like branding is not just a logo. It's the strategy. It's the visual agency, verbal, and everything together. I think here you can actually go pretty unique and different. But if you just judge logo, it's hard.
That is Arthur Folliard, creative director at Kodo and directly involved in the Bolt project. He's a Paris native and has been with Kodo for about 6 years. It's not uncommon for Kodo to stir the design Twitter pot. For some reason, their work becomes the center of design debates. In a previous life, the two founders of Kodo, Joey Rowden and James Greenfield, were heavily involved in designing the Airbnb logo at Design Studio. Then later, under the Kodo banner, they worked on the Fiverr refresh. Both of those were covered in previous seasons and were quite controversial. So why is it that once again they are here in the limelight, stirring the pot?
You know, the thing actually that represents Kodo very well is people have a strong reaction to it, most of the time very positive. because first of all, it comes from the heart. And then our strategy is also very, very strong. We use a lot of metaphor as well in our work and analogy. And so to see it and, you know, all of a sudden it makes you feel something. Most of the time, we love to think that we do optimistic work because we're a bunch of optimistic people. That's one way to do it. It's like, I think if people don't react, it's probably you're not doing anything. You know, it doesn't just have a strong opinion. And we do have a strong opinion. We try to make things very different. And then at the end of the day, we did talk about it internally. We just do good work and we stand up for it. We're happy. At the end of the day, if your client is happy, who cares what Twitter says? I think it's important to read, probably just to see if, you know, there's anything weird or there's anything you should actually take into account. But at the end of the day, did the team love working on the project? Did we have fun? And then is the client happy are the 2/3 things that we really care about.
Before we get to the bottom of the originality in design debate, let's understand first how Arthur and the team at Kodo produced such a controversial logo. Bolds knew they needed help with their brand. They had operated as a B2B-only brand for years, which made sense as they grew their merchant network. But they realized they needed to get shoppers as well, which is where the mindset of a B2C brand would come in handy, which was a shift for them.
The Bolt brand, the old one, often got lost in the checkout experience because there was nothing distinctive about it. The logo had a lightning bolt, but very basic and expected. The colors were blue. There's no opinion on tone of voice and messaging. So quite hard. And imagine the checkout experience if you're doing like Forever 21 or Fanatics. You just have the small logo at the bottom of the little window that says Powered by Bolt. So you need to make sure that wordmark or that logo has strength.
Bolt sent out an RFP and Kodo was delighted to be included. There was a phone call. Arthur and the team shared their work and point of view. And he mentioned that the chemistry between Kodo and Bolt felt very natural and comfortable. It was good vibes all around. And eventually, Bolt was on board. Kodo first got started with their immersion phase, acting as users, learning about the product and the business. Arthur felt from the get-go that Bolt was a pretty messy brand. The visual and verbal identity was inconsistent and seemed to be lost, with no real direction. Additionally, they started to see the opportunity to truly stand out since everyone else in the space looked the same. Shop, Wise, PayPal, Paytm, Checkout.com, and Stripe were all blue or purple in the proverbial sea of sameness.
And the good thing also was your product is actually pretty good. Your product is actually great. And so we probably need to elevate it, need to make sure that we're creating a brand that can flex from the really big and emotive moment to the very, very pragmatic and functional moments like it's the checkout experience, and the only thing that you see from the brand is a checkout button and a little power by bolts.
After the immersion work, Kodo developed the entire brand strategy and centered the effort around a key idea.
Something that they actually really liked was this idea of having a shockingly simple checkout. Right? Because when you think actually about it, it's all about making things simpler for merchants and shoppers, right? If you think about it, like you're going to help or you're going to have a much higher conversion with Bolt, right? And we're looking at like 60% of the time, so more conversion, which is amazing because in one click, you can actually just get people to buy your product. They also have a higher rate of repeat purchase as well, which is really, really interesting because there's no hustle. Everything is actually going so well that people are more likely to come back. And then as a shopper, shockingly simple made a lot of sense because you talk about effortless checkout. You talk about one shopper login. So if you have an account with Bolt, you don't need to create another account on the other websites. Everything is sorted. Your delivery address, the payment methods, everything that you need to get your product and item is sorted. So it made a lot of sense. It's shockingly simple for both merchants and shoppers.
Next up for Kodo was the design and messaging process to bring the shockingly simple idea to life.
And we came up with three visual and verbal directions And that's what we do when we actually come in for the first creative presentation. Three fleshed out routes, explaining in a very different way, or trying to understand how we can take this shockingly simple into three directions. The first one is, it's all about lightning speed checkout. It's incredible that in one click, everything is just done. Literally, it's exactly what happened. You put another thing in your cart and then you click checkout and that's it. So building a whole brand around that was good. The second one was actually very much focusing on the power of the network. Whether you're a merchant or a shopper, you have 15, 20 millions of shoppers at your fingertip, which is amazing. So as a merchant, and then if you're a shopper, you can literally shop at hundreds of, you know, merchant that you actually like. And then the last one was a proper straightforward expression of shockingly simple, which was for too long, you know, shopping at has meant stressed to find the right, you know, details, remembering your password, digging out, you know, the username, also struggling to find your size, everything is gone, etc. And so, you know, bold say just no more, we have another way of doing things. So we came in with those three directions that were visually extremely different as well. And they absolutely, as you know, adored the first one, which was lightning speed checkout. And what they really liked about the third one was the bold tone of voice, trying to be a bit cheeky about it, like there's another way of doing things and trying to have fun and don't take yourself too seriously as well. And that's how we ended up with what we have today. Worked a bit on some refinement for like a week or two, but they liked everything. There were some things to change on the logo. There was a few tweaks to do on the color and the type, but it felt very, the attitude was the same. The details and how we actually approach every single visual and verbal elements were obviously improved over time.
Bolt overall loved direction number one, but clients are always going to client. And the feedback started to roll in.
They actually made the work better because all the feedback they gave on the original logo, you know, at the time you're always like, oh no, are they going to kill it? You know, you're a bit worried, and actually keep your mind open, you know, take all the feedback into account, which we've done and came back and they loved it. And it's so, so much better than the original, I think. It's about being empathic, you know, making sure that every single feedback that people give you is worth it. And if you disagree with it, that's fine. It happens. They disagreed with things that we suggested. We disagreed with things that they've said. But you know what? Do what they suggested first and try to answer that concern or worry or question and then come in with your own answer afterwards and then just have a chat. And it's exactly what we've done for the logo, the way we treat it. Like the color palette is absolutely great. They actually question the color at first. I don't know, like lime, what? And you come in and say, completely fine. Here's a few options, but here's why we think this one works. And it helps. And it was perfect. And yeah, the feedback they gave us, another great feedback was the way we approach photography. I think it's a real trend in the branding world where everything is high flash and we try to move away from it a lot. But you know what? For this time, we were like, actually, you talk about lightning, I think the flash makes sense, right? And so we came in and the whole thing was around a high flash. And I felt weird about suggesting this because I tried to push the team not to do it. And we came in and that's fine. The first creative presentation, it's not the final thing. It's more about a vision anyway. They're like, no, like we want to do something very different with the art direction, but not high flash. We don't want to be like anyone else. And everyone is doing it and that's a shame. Yes, we will do it and we want to do a photo shoot with you, but can you actually try of another way to express this idea photographically and illustratively speaking? And thanks God they actually pushed us to do it, because that's how we came up with this beautiful, you know, perspective in movement, full of energy approach to photos, because it's so much better.
Sometimes it takes forever to uncover the right idea for a logo design. Your art boards get out of control, wild with hundreds of little explorations, yet you still feel unsatisfied. And other times, it feels like you caught lightning in a bottle.
There was something really interesting in actually having a wordmark that had the personality and the attitude of the brand. And it came so quickly. Before we did the strategy, before we did the creative phase, that our design director came in one morning and was like, I think there's something in the L&T, and it was like, oh, sick, you know, like amazing. And actually the first version of that logo was italicized because we like this energy sort of, you know, idea of like the energy is just going forward, it doesn't stand still, etc. Yeah, that was it. I'm definitely not that kind of person that has this moment, you know, like realization, like, you know, oh my God, like, you know, we closed my eyes and he came to me. But that time he kind of came to the team very quickly. And normally the result and the answer of our project is hard work. You know, we iterate and we catch up all together and we do a lot of things. On that one, it was so simple and it was there.
Okay, it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we get to hear how Arthur handles the copycat criticism and what his client thought about the feedback. All that and more after the break. Hey, while we're taking this break, I want to give a huge shout out to BrandPad for sponsoring this episode. I love using BrandPad here at Matchstick where I work. Gone are the days of static and dusty brand guidelines. Made by designers for designers, BrandPad is easy to use and allows us and our clients to make updates instantly. Because it's become our go-to platform for creating beautiful digital guidelines for clients, our friends at BrandPad have given us a code to share with you in hopes that it helps you too. Use code CHANGE15 for 15% off of your next subscription. For more information, check out brandpad.io. That's brandpad.io.
Hey, listeners. Did you know Blake, our fearless podcast host and dad joke expert, has written a book? What? Yeah, it's totally true. It covers a range of brand identity topics and solutions to help CMOs and other brand leaders uncover a more radically relevant brand. In fact, that's the name, Radically Relevant. And since we all love to take quizzes, it comes with an assessment too, so you can see how your brand stacks up against the competition. For more on the book or to take the free Radically Relevant assessment, check out radicallyrelevantbrand.com. And if you're enjoying the show, don't forget to join the conversation on Instagram. See more about today's episode, share with a friend, or send us an idea you have for a future episode at A Change of Brand. All right, let's get back to it.
The debate of originality in brand identity design started before this Bolt logo. There are similarities everywhere. The red circle with a P for Pinterest and the red circle with a B for Beats. There's the Gucci versus Chanel similar black interlocking G's and C's, and Pandora or PayPal's near identical blue P's. Additionally, this theme of authorship is not relegated to graphic design only. If we take a step back and look at other creative disciplines, poetry, filmmaking, or music, the concept of remixing is very much alive. I came across a really interesting YouTube documentary called Everything is a Remix by Kirby Ferguson. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's only about 37 minutes and worth a watch. He shows the connection between famous songs like Rapper's Delight and the same catchy bassline from Chic's Good Times, which preceded it. He also makes the case that one of the most original film series of all time, Star Wars, is in fact not so original. Piece by piece, he shows how the droids, the plot lines, and even shot-for-shot ripoffs were the foundation for George Lucas's blockbusters. Of course, there is a legal threshold here, and taking a remix too far can result in copyright infringement. Take the 90s smash hit Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice, for example. Have you ever heard that song coming on, only to be surprised when it turns out to be Under Pressure by Queen? Well, Queen and David Bowie felt the same. In fact, they sued Robert Van Winkle, aka Vanilla Ice, for copyright infringement and settled out of court. Queen and David Bowie now receive songwriting credit and likely royalties anytime Ice Ice Baby is played. The same happened to Sisqó when he sampled Ricky Martin's Living La Vida Loca in his infamous Thong Song. And speaking of questionable decisions, here's Arthur again on how his team handled some of those crazy Twitter comments. But what was your reaction to that criticism? It seemed like it really stirred some strong reactions. How did you and or the rest of the team kind of handle that and respond?
I mean, the team went through the Airbnb backlash, you know, at the beginning, you know, James, Joey and Tim, where people were drawing vagina and private parts over the logo. And so they're like, there's nothing worse than that. And actually what you need to look at, because we know we haven't, and the client knows, again, there's so much work. Like, it's funny, people just judge something in 1 minute, and we had been working with them for 9 months. So obviously we have, and they have done research, and we have looked around, and et cetera, et cetera. And also we know where it comes from. You're obviously not happy about it, but also I think internet is absolutely obsessed with things being unique, or they will always find a thing, always. And so what matters, going back to it, is our client didn't care. They knew exactly where the research came from, all the hard work we put in. And they said, you have to look at the traffic on the website. Before the launch, no one knew what Bolt was. And now everyone knows what Bolt is. And I think when you know your strength and you know that it's all bullshit, basically, it's completely fine. And that was the thing I was worried about. It's like, oh my God, how's the client going to react? Da, da, da. But I did a podcast also with Jason, the head of brand, and the question came up and I was like, well, maybe the client should answer this one. He was like, nope, completely fine. Love it. Like, we know Kodo, we trust Kodo. We've seen the process. We know where it comes from. We ask Kodo to make a word mark with a lightning in there if they can. So everything kind of like came from the client as well. And at the end of the day, it's not just about the logo, because nothing is truly unique. We talked about this at the beginning. That's almost impossible. But this logo, with this color palette, with this approach to photography, with this tone of voice principle, with this digital UX UI experience, the whole thing, the whole brand is actually very different and quite unique.
There was one quote that you had in the response to some of the feedback. You said, it's about making something that works for your client, which you were just saying, and to make a great identity. We can't know every brand or every logo ever made. But just to challenge that a little bit, it's also part of your job to know what you're presenting for your client, right?
Yeah, and I 100% agree to an extent, obviously. Because the first phase is make sure that none of the work that you create has overlap in the industry. And you start with 20, 30, 40, 50 brands. So you need to make sure that this is good, right? And that's your main focus. Then you open up a bit. And is it the same as Netflix? Is it the same as WhatsApp? Like, all the brands are just the first thing that comes to mind, you know, the top 200, 300, 400, 500. And then we actually open it up to the rest of Kodo. We have 100 plus people on Slack where we share the creative, and we have weekly catch up, first of all, to make sure that the work that we create doesn't have overlap within. So if we're using this color, if we're using that type of photography, make sure that things are different. And also to make sure that it doesn't make people think of this or that or that. It never came up. And I think it's a risk when you go with such a simple and strong idea. Like, you can't own a lightning bolt. You can't own an arrow. It's like someone saying, you have a circle, I have a circle. These are probably 10 symbols in the world that you can't own. The sun, the moon, the lightning, you know, like every, like, I'd love actually to make the list. I haven't done it. So of course it's going to probably have some overlap, but you need to look at beyond this. And I think when you look at the whole brand, it's very different. You're called Bolt as well. It's not like you're called Carrot and you have a lightning bolt, you know, like, you're actually called Bolt. And I think the research is actually the thing that you should base anything on, which is, that's the space. That's what the reason why we did this. Here's the presentation. Here's what we've done. Here's the first or the hundreds of actual logo that we've done trying to do this. Present options to the client. The client like it. That's it. But I don't know, honestly, man. I think it's completely fine, because if you look at the Buzzer brand or Vault again, but I don't think it exists, has nothing else than that. Absolutely nothing else. And if you actually just go on bolt.com, you know that there's definitely more to it. But like I said, nothing is unique. Also, what could Buzzer say when, or Vault say, or whoever has done it, where there are 25 billion, you know, of, you know, these on Dribbble, Pinterest, maybe, and so on. So again, when you can't own a lightning as a shape, like you can't own a circle, a square, an arrow, or anything else. So yeah.
What's interesting to me in this story is how quickly people pointed out that putting a lightning bolt in the letters has been done before, as if the primary goal is to design something 100% original. In fact, with identity, the goal is to create a unique identifier for the brand. And Kodo did just that.
Don't you think it's a bit arrogant to think that you're unique among 8 billion people? Like you've got the unique idea no one else in the history of mankind had. It's fine. Maybe it does. Maybe it happens. But yeah, I think that you can't take yourself too seriously in design. You know what? Sometimes I think that it's easier to send a tweet than actually making good work. And I think a lot of reaction is people probably being a bit salty about us managing to do such a simple, striking a great identity for such a big client. And they maybe hate it, or maybe they just don't know. But I'm like, oh, first of all, calm down. It's just like, it's okay. We're all friends here. The design industry is quite bitchy sometimes, but I'm like, we're all in this together. The struggle of making a good brand. And so don't try to kill us. We try the best. Okay. There's a thing on Dribbble that has the same. It's not like the brand was called Carrot and we just try to force it. Called Bolt, they had one. But yeah. And I think actually that's the way we deal with that kind of stuff is it's easier to send a tweet than actually making good work. If you are honest with yourself, we don't care what people say. And as long as the client is happy and your team is happy and you had a good time, that's it. And that's the most important thing.
Okay, time for a lightning round wrap up. In the debate of originality and logos, we can't expect true, unfiltered, unadulterated, pure pioneering ideas. The best practices for brand marks hasn't really changed since logos became a thing. They need to be simple, meaningful, and timeless, which leads you down a path of basic forms and shapes, like circles, squares, triangles, or letter forms. The distinction really comes into play when you combine all of the visual assets. The logo, color, type, photography, illustration, icons, layout, etc. This is where the designer should strive for originality. However, it also comes down to intent. If a brand is clearly trying to rip off or cause confusion in the market with another brand, then that's copyright or trademark infringement. And legally speaking, not cool, man. Professional graphic designers have an obligation to stand up to clients with these types of requests or practices, especially when it comes to logos. One thing I really appreciated about this story is how much the Bolt team truly trusted Kodo, and how Kodo trusted Bolt. They didn't feel threatened by their feedback, but took it seriously, tried it, and brought back a recommendation or a point of view on how to move forward.
Because they trust us so much, we actually trust them back. And we're never going to do something for the sake of it for us. We're actually like, you know what? These people trust us so much and they say yes to most of the things that we do. So we can't just fuck around. It's not about us. We have to earn the trust and we have to make sure and maintain it, because it is hard to build trust, but it's even harder to keep it. And so we actually become even more mature. If a client is fighting you and you're fighting and you're just trying to have your way, it's very different. But yeah, for Bolt, it was so, so nice. Again, I think I've said it already, but the example of actually, we're not so sure about the logo. And that's why they say at the beginning. Imagine, right? You get the feedback, you're like, fucking hell, no, the logo is great. The logo is actually going to be so good for you. You can approach it like this and try to fight it and come back to another presentation and be like, no, you're wrong, you know? And actually what we did is many ways we think, first of all, this one works. It's different. So do a lot of research and show. It's very trustworthy, because if you think about actually some of the most corporate and trustworthy brand in the world, they're actually in that world. So you think about like even like Tesla, Visa, Nike, Cisco, like they all have the all cap person, which is really interesting. And so it's like, no, it's actually trustworthy for this reason and this reason. Anyway, and that's it. You know, every single bits and presentation and interaction you have, just keep your mind open. At the end of the day, it's not about you. Again, don't take yourself too seriously. You're getting paid by people to do this. So make sure they're happy along the way.
Okay, that is a wrap. Special thanks to Arthur Folliard and the team at Kodo for giving us their take on this change. To see more visuals from today's episode, head on over to achangeofbrand.com. And if you liked today's show, share it with a friend and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Today's episode was edited and scored by Landon Osei-Tutu, fact-checked by Jill Jeffrey, written in part and produced by Brianna Belcher. Special thanks to Tracy Clark for the brief-in and Rachel Jackson for today's artwork. I'm your host, Blake Thunder Howard, signing off.